And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just something I've noticed. Bargain hunting is back. I mean, bargain hunting's always been around. We always love a great deal. But man, everywhere you look, people are bargain hunting. You know, there's so many great ways to find great deals. Hey, I have a great find in your bargain hunting journey. Book online at motel6.com. Use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby, and truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a price that's a real bargain when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letters CPRedEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That is a bargain. That's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show from the Uniden America Studios. This is Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome and good morning. Thanks for being here. Well, Thursday, which means SCOTUS will hear the oral arguments on presidential immunity.
All right.
And this isn't too hard to figure out. I mean, it's you really go back to the precedent, Nixon versus Fitzgerald in 1982. Supreme Court ruled the president had absolute immunity from civil lawsuits for acts within the outer perimeter of his presidential duties.
Mm-hmm.
That was the official quoted language in it. Absolute immunity from civil lawsuits. Well, since criminal charges have never been brought, I mean, that's, okay, where does it apply there?
Mm.
And most experts believe they'll look at it and go, well, since the threat of prison is, you know, worse than a civil lawsuit, they probably would have the same parameters.
Yeah,
is what it probably will come down to, that you have absolute immunity from civil lawsuits for acts within the outer perimeter of presidential duties. Now, as we know, what the left is saying, well, we don't want this to apply to all presidents. It's just for Trump. Well, you can't do that, as we all know.
No, no.
And as they write here, as I've got the Wall Street Journal editorial in front of me here, if you don't think they're going to go after Biden, the Republicans, after he's out of office, this is what all of this has caused.
Mm-hmm.
All of this has caused now, it's going to be political revenge. You come after our guy, we're going to come after your guy.
Yeah.
Now, the point is, will conservatives go for that if they know it's bogus? That's the one thing. If one side does something that is clearly wrong, and we believe, for example, Bragg should be disbarred for this, and Fannie Willis is also, you know, she's got her own troubles, doesn't she?
Yeah.
At the moment, and justifiably so. But the if the court rules that Nixon versus Fitzgerald applies, as I believe they will, because Trump said, remember, Trump came out and said he had immunity from anything. Well, you don't have immunity from anything.
Right.
That's never been the case. That's not anywhere. You may wish it you had immunity from anything, but you don't.
Right, right.
You don't. You can be prosecuted for things that you do that are clearly criminal actions. Now, as president, you will not be, but if the evidence was there, like for Nixon, obstruction of justice, then you resign and you're pardoned. And that's what happened in that case. So we never got to the criminal intent of it. The prosecution in this case, Smith, is stating that presidents are supposed to be treated just like regular citizens. That's not true.
No.
And so both are taking extreme positions. It's somewhere in the middle. And I believe Nixon Fitzgerald is what the constructionists and originalists on the Supreme Court will follow. And they'll look at it and go, okay, yeah, you have absolute immunity for things that are on the outer perimeters of, you know, your job, of your presidential duties. Now, what does outer perimeter mean, right? That would be the next question. Well, clearly, if you're president of the United States and you steal a car, unless you're trying to, you know, run away from rogue prosecutors, so you steal the car. But if you steal a car, that's outside your duties as president. You can't make the case.
Right. You know,
as we have made the case that Smith, the prosecutor, is citing that that Trump, that lobbying Vice President Mike Pence to block Congress's certification of the Electoral College votes, that is illegal. Number one, this is sort of like the case we're dealing with right now in New York.
Mm-hmm.
That's not illegal.
Right.
He simply told him, I think you should do this. He said no. Communicating what you believe should be done to the vice president is not against the law.
No.
And it is part of his official duty, if he believed the election was stolen, whether you do or not, doesn't matter. If he believed the election was stolen, and he's made this clear, I wanted to make sure as president of the United States that we had fair elections that were done, and to delay the certification, I wanted to make sure that all the votes were counted properly. Right. None of that's against the law.
Nope.
Because if that's the point, any time a president, Joe Biden, puts in an executive order that is found unconstitutional by the Supreme Court, then you've broken the law there, too.
Well, I mean, how many times now have we seen this administration, and we saw the Obama administration on Title IX? This is our interpretation of Title IX. Or how many other things that have been overturned? Remember, recess appointments. It was a 9-0 decision against Obama at the Supreme Court. Does it mean that Obama broke the law? No. Does it mean he should be charged? No. Politically, it can be damaging. And the Supreme Court can hand you some defeat, but it's not against the law. And this idea, though, is, yeah, but it's Trump. Yeah, but it's Trump.
I think what will happen, I think that they'll back up the what Nixon versus Fitzgerald is. If you were to ask me to guess what will happen here, that the Supreme Court will say no, Nixon versus Fitzgerald applies here. Now, the question of outer perimeter, that gets back to the lower courts and works its way up through, which means Trump will not be judged on it. So that will be something that might not be decided until 5 years from now. And so the case, Smith's case against Trump, will not proceed because they need to find out what the outer perimeters are.
Mm-hmm.
At that point.
Yeah, I would agree. That's likely going to take a little more time.
If you were to ask me, and again, we don't make predictions, but if you're following the strict letter of the law and the Supreme Court does not want to be the be-all, end-all of this, they would simply say Nixon versus Fitzgerald applies to it, so criminal conduct applies to it. Outer perimeter, what that, you know, on what Smith is saying Trump did, outer perimeter, start at the lower court and move up through the ranks again.
Right. Right. Yeah.
That would be my guess.
And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. We don't give enough credit to signs, and we really should. That sign over there tells you, great French fries. That sign over there tells you, this is your exit. And look at that legendary sign. It's the Motel 6 sign. It tells you, a great night's rest at a great price. Book online at motel6.com and use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. Look for the signs. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a great price when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letter CPRedEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That's a great deal. And that's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Bleav Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
So, I think that's, as they write here, though, as David Rifkin and Elizabeth Foley argue in these pages of the Wall Street Journal, this ignores the reality of our current politics. Four Democratic prosecutors have decided to charge Mr. Trump, three on criminal charges. In doing so, they have unleashed partisan furies that future prosecutors will exploit. If Democrats think President Biden won't at least be investigated for crimes by the GOP prosecutors after he leaves office, they aren't paying attention. If the court rules that Nixon versus Fitzgerald applies, the next question concerns whether the acts Mr. Trump is charged with fit, fall within the outer perimeter of his duties. This is in part a factual question about Mr. Trump's actions and motivations. And that's, you know, they also, you know, they believe that that the Supreme Court won't make the full decision and might send that back to the lower courts. I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
We'll see. But it's tough in these cases. But I look at what Trump did, whether he asked states. Because the one thing is, you know, telling, you know, if the two main points of talking to Pence, that isn't a crime.
Right.
You can communicate what you wish to do. And the other one where he asked state election officials to look for election fraud, not a crime.
No.
There's no crime there.
No.
And so that gets back to the point that the two major things that Smith is bringing up aren't crimes to begin with. So maybe the Supreme Court will look at it that same way, or they'll say no. It needs to go through the process. Start with the lower courts and work it up.
Right.
Because if a lower court comes out and says nope, then it moves up again, you know, through the court system.
Right.
I just have a feeling that's what's going to happen on it. But the whole point is, if this isn't, if the prosecution, will the prosecution of, because it's, if Trump is elected, it's dead for 4 years.
Yeah.
Dead's not going anywhere.
It's not going anywhere while he's in office.
Right.
I mean, as soon as he became president-elect, it wouldn't go anywhere. So.
Well, it wouldn't get through the courts.
Because
the Supreme Court may not give an answer on this till June or July, then it starts on the bottom, works its way back up.
Yeah, if they send it back down and say, it could be years.
It could, yeah.
Yeah.
To me, on those two cases, it's absolutely clear.
I think
if the Supreme Court came out and said that fits outer perimeters, but the whole point is, who has defined outer perimeters? And does the Supreme Court want to start where they define it, or the outer perimeters on criminal acts do it from the lower court and work up?
Yeah,
that would be the question. And I, right. you know, and I just have a feeling that a Roberts court doesn't want to make the ultimate final decision across the board on it. That would be my guess.
Yeah, because it would be sweeping one way or the other. But yeah. Again, it's hard to know. The problem is that even the legal sensibilities have changed, because everything is different when prosecutors go after Trump for being Trump. For existing.
Right, but the law doesn't change.
Nope. No, it never has.
And that's why it's clear when Julian Epstein came out and looked at the New York case going on right now and just said, come on, this is completely bogus. Everyone is saying the exact same thing. Where's the crime?
Right.
And we've asked it over and over again since the very beginning of this. Where is the crime? Not one Democrat, not one person in the media can tell you what the crime is. Can sit there and say, here's the behavior of Trump, and here's the law that he broke. And specify the law. This is the law. And I give the example of when Comey wouldn't prosecute Hillary Clinton, yet they put down the part of the law that she violated. Remember that?
Right. Yeah, they cited
the part of the law that she violated.
Right.
Cite the part of the law and then compare it to Trump's behavior and say, where does it show he broke the law? You can't find that in this case.
Right.
Doesn't exist.
Nope.
And that's why I saw a couple of articles yesterday. The media is failing us miserably in this, because they're talking about everything surrounding the case except the actual legalities of the case.
Well, that's it. They're covering a number of things here. They cover, of course, the political drama part of it. They cover procedural things. They cover all these other things, but they actually don't cover the merits or lack thereof in this case. And it's all based on that. What laws were broken?
It will be interesting to hear the questions today, though, from the oral arguments.
Yeah, it will be.
I'll be listening.
Yep.
866-90-RED-EYE.
This morning's USDA Farm Report is brought to you by Howe's Products. Tested, trusted, guaranteed since 1920.
Recent cases of highly pathogenic avian influenza in dairy cattle. What does that mean regarding the ability of consumers to safely consume U.S. milk? Based on available information, according to the Food and Drug Administration and Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack,
our commercial milk supply is safe.
The secretary provided two reasons to reporters Wednesday.
Pasteurization process works, and two, convinced that farmers are working with us to divert any and destroy any milk that may be coming from sick cows.
Secretary Vilsack also notes a recent example of monitoring, testing, and inspection efforts in food safety.
The APHIS, the National Veterinary Services Laboratory, found H5N1 in a lung tissue sample from an asymptomatic cull dairy cow that originated from an affected herd and was sent to slaughter. The cull dairy cow was condemned by USDA's Food Safety Inspection Service during inspection, indicating that the system is working.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
This report brought to you by Cenex Fuels and Lubes.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Cronin. I'm Gary McNamara. Now, as we were telling you, as we were looking at the oral arguments today before the Supreme Court on presidential immunity, and we were telling you that the prosecutor, Jack Smith, believes that no president should have any immunity greater than than the average citizen. Eric, you've got to just read to everybody what you just read to me that came from Jack Smith.
All right. And this is from Amy Howe over at SCOTUSblog.com. The Supreme Court's decision in Nixon versus Fitzgerald holding that presidents are immune from civil lawsuits by private parties seeking damages does not shield former presidents from federal criminal liability, Smith argues. There's a far weightier interest in vindicating federal criminal law in a case brought by the executive branch than a civil case brought by a private party, Smith contends. And while the justices in Fitzgerald were worried about the prospect that a flood of private civil suits would affect the president's decision-making, Smith observes that there are a variety of safeguards, ranging from grand juries to the burden of proof at trial and due process protections. Keep in mind, y'all, we're talking about Donald Trump, who's been overcharged to the nth degree, to ensure that, quote, prosecutions will be screened under rigorous standards and that no president need be chilled in fulfilling his responsibilities by the understanding that he is subject to prosecution if he commits federal crimes, end quote. It's
come on,
laughable.
Is that SCOTUS blog or Babylon Bee?
No, that's
seriously.
Exactly it.
Oh my God!
I read that and I thought, okay, I'm reading that wrong. I need to stop and I need to go over that again. I need to read it, and I did. I read it like three or four times before I read it out loud to you, and it's just laughable. And here's the thing. At the end of this, I would say, yeah, but it's Trump. That's what I would add. Yeah, but Trump. That's
right.
Because that's it.
Don't do all the fancy lingo stuff. Hey, it's Trump.
Well, it's here's the thing. Ranging from grand juries to the burden of proof at trial and due process protections. What due process protections are you talking about, Smith? What are you smoking?
I was going to say, the whole drug thing comes up again. Is everybody high?
Is everybody smoking weed?
Listening to Red Eye Radio from the Uniden America Studios.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Curley. I'm Gary McNamara.
He said rigorous standards.
And due process.
Due process?
Will be protected for presidents.
Does he know Alvin Bragg? Does he even know? Does Smith? I'm guessing they've met. I think they know each other.
Well, you would have to look at it and say if that's the argument that you're making to the Supreme Court. Now, the Supreme Court, I'm guessing the judges aren't going to look and go, well, the RICO case is bogus and the Bragg case is bogus. They're not going to do that. But it would be funny if Thomas came out and said that. Rigorous? What are you talking about?
Right, right. What as it applies to this particular former president.
Oh my gosh, if Thomas said that, the left wing goes, he needs to resign now.
Yeah, of course. That was inappropriate. going after Trump repeatedly nothing.
By the way, we're talking about Jack Smith, the prosecutor here for Trump on the January 6th stuff. And the fact that he's on his argument, because this is the argument, SCOTUS blog. has it. His argument is that that really presidents don't have any more immunity than any other citizen, and it will be the rigorous standards of the courts and due process that will protect all future presidents.
Uh-huh.
And it's like,
uh-huh,
you see what's going on, and uh-huh, it was just, when you read that to me, I had not heard that before. It really is, it's like it's a Babylon Bee headline. That's how funny it is. That's how hilarious it is when you see what's going on. I mean, universally, there's nothing stopping rogue prosecutors and judges from going after Trump for things that are not crimes.
Right.
It's just amazing.
How do they sleep? How do they sleep at night? How do they?
I honestly believe that. How do they live with themselves? I honestly believe they look at it and say, "Look, if we just say these things out loud in a serious tone." Rigorous safeguards, due process.
Good God.
Then we, you know, we sound all smart and whatnot. And we just walk through the, you know, and then you don't blink, you don't flinch. That's the whole, you know, that's the biggest part of it. The sell. Don't ever show your, you know, look. And also, of course, we have to include the idea that many of them are completely delusional. So to go from one delusional point to another is not so much of a leap. You know, but when you're trying to sell it, you got to sell it with a serious face.
You know, when you see it, because it's so legally, it's so outrageous and such a line of BS, what he is throwing out. And, we've talked about this a lot, that all the insanity that you see going on, we've talked about, this goes back to Lois Lerner and the IRS.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you and I asked the question way back then. We said, you know, people are saying it's a conspiracy, and we tend to believe, and this is the first time we said it, so it was for the IRS, we tend to believe it may be not a conspiracy but a culture. That it's just accepted that you don't need to ask somebody else. You just know what the talking points are. And it's like whatever you have to do to get the other side is okay. And I say that because I was, you know, reading the editorial of the New York Post on the protests that are going on, you know, at the universities, the pro-terrorist protest, which is unbelievable in this day and age when you think about it. You know, and just a couple of sentences here. When the NYPD moved in on the New York University pro-Hamas occupiers Monday night, professors formed a human chain to block the cops, neatly revealing a huge part of the problem for U.S. academia.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, the issue was the protesters' decision to seize a central part of the campus in a bid to blackmail the school into divesting from Israel over the Hamas war and their hateful intimidation of those who disagree. This wasn't free speech or even orderly civil disobedience, but the reverse, using force to impose their beliefs, and these faculty fully endorsed that radical, deeply liberal action. Plenty of their colleagues surely agree, even if unwilling to get arrested for it. The simple fact is that tenured radicals now dominate American higher education, especially at the elite institutions. And I say the same thing when you talk about all the lawyers coming out of the Ivy League schools that end up in prominent government positions.
Yeah.
They're all radicals.
Right.
A 2022 Harvard Crimson survey found 45% of faculty self-identified as very liberal, the leftmost option, 37% as liberal, 16% as moderate, and as we know, because you and I both know liberals who are as liberal as you can be, they go, no, I'm not a liberal, I'm a moderate.
Yeah, right.
1.46% as conservative, and zero faculty as very conservative. A 2017 survey of 7,243 tenure track faculty at 40 top schools found just a total of 314 Republicans out of 7,243. They were outnumbered 11.5-1 by registered Democrats. This is a result of the left's decade-long march through the institutions, you only being voted in
by already tenured professors get tenure and right-of-center views are increasingly enough to get you blackballed. So the entire field has increasingly become a monoculture to the point where dissent makes it hard to even get hired for even low-paying, non-job security adjunct posts. Heck, tenured faculty get purged for challenging the left, as Princeton ex-professor Joshua Katz discovered, and even for research, it shows the wrong answers, a la Harvard exile Roland Fryer. Georgetown Law School forced out a new hire simply for a tweet criticizing President Biden's open race and gender discrimination in picking a Supreme Court nominee.
Hmm.
Remember that one.
Mm-hmm.
Actual liberals have basically ducked as the left rose to power. Today, most non-radicals just keep their head down, knowing they could be next. This isn't going to end at college campuses.
It's not going to end.
After the Hamas war is done. The insanity is institutionalized inside of academia.
Mm-hmm.
Just like it didn't matter that Trump was president, the rot inside of the FBI, in the management of the FBI,
mm-hmm.
and the CIA was clearly there.
Yep. No, I go back to that article that I read years ago that talked about all of the lower profile positions where you had radicals basically hired into these positions that were not Senate confirmation type positions during the Obama years. And this analysis was that there were so many, it would take years if you were going to do this and you wanted, or if you were to undo this, it would take you years to do it. And then, of course, you and I, going through the whole Lois Lerner thing, looked at it and said, well, wait a minute. You know, this is a mindset here. This is not just hiring, going out and seeking radicals. You don't have to go that far to find radicals. You can find them anywhere and everywhere. And so that mindset is throughout. It's not that, again, you're looking at, because it sounds almost like a conspiracy. And as we have said, it's not about a conspiracy. It's about a similar mindset. And even a president, when, you know, because people, I guess, have been of this mindset that, well, if it's the, you know, whatever the president is going to dictate the culture inside the Department of Justice or anything else. Well, maybe in the AG's office. But at the FBI, in the intel community, these are positions that you don't know these individuals, you don't know their names, and it's usually they're within the higher ranks. We have seen that, at least from what we know, that it is typically not rank and file. But I wouldn't say that that's out of the question. I'm sure there are plenty of similar mindset within the rank and file. But when you got a Peter Strzok, any of these individuals that make their way up to a senior level, you know, that radical type mindset, they're going to come after you. They're going to come after you. They're going to come after you. We don't need a crime. Well, how do you get to a point where FBI agents are directed to go sit in a parking lot and take down the license plate number of parents who were at a school board meeting to issue a grievance? These are not conspiracy theories. These are not things that are written in a Hollywood movie. These are real things that have happened. And I don't know. I don't know how you... I don't know that you ever change it. In fact, I don't believe you do. I don't believe changing the radical mindset, weeding out the radicals, is going to be the case, even at these campuses. You fire a president, who do you think the next president is going to be? you fire the faculty. Anybody believe at these universities all of a sudden they're going to go in and find some critical thinkers and people who are conservative or at least not radical? I don't believe that's going to happen.
Look, I mean, you see Peter Strzok and what he did. Now he's an adjunct professor at Georgetown University. Yeah,
there you go. Exactly, and right, we've there. Come full circle.
You recycle the rot.
Right.
And somebody who was a huge piece of the rot inside of the FBI becomes a professor at Georgetown University's School of Foreign Service.
Right.
Teaching kids, again, indoctrinating kids, of the rot that has encompassed him.
Right. You know, and over again, you know, we see that, and it plays out, you know, and it, where, again, the because of indoctrination, because, again, they sit and they shape these young minds. This is learned behavior. And they shape these young minds into this. You're creating a never-ending, and in fact, ever-growing radical mindset.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. You know, really, some gut punch and actually accurate headlines in the Babylon Bee.
Mm.
You know, but some gut punch headlines they had. They're the parody website, but Columbia administration promises to carefully investigate whether "Let's kill every Jew we see on campus" chant violates school's conduct policy. Oh, man. Columbia switches to online classes so Jewish students can participate from the attics where they are hiding.
Wow. That's one of those where it just hits home. It's not even that it's funny. It's just that it's a parody.
It's right.
Based on the very reality. I mean, you talk about a reflection of what's going on. Wow. Wow.
Now some of them are outright just humorous, not a gut punch.
Mm-hmm.
Columbia protesters clarified they only want death to America after America is done paying their student loans.
Of course. Yes.
And what was the one, the lead one? Oh, this is, to me, I laugh like crazy, this one. Hillsdale College reports no violent anti-Semitic protest for the 180th year in a row.
Yeah.
Hillsdale College, a very conservative university, just so people know. But my God. I read a couple to you, and he was like, whoa. We both went, whoa. Ooh, man. I mean,
Because it's reality.
Yeah.
It's reality.
Solid points.
Accurate reporting coming from the Babylon Bee.
Exactly what parody, though, is supposed to do, isn't it?
Exactly, yes. A very real reflection, right?
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
John brings his skewed sense of humor. Jeff brings tips to cut strokes off your next round. Together, it's those weekend golf guys.
They'll pay a lot of money to PXG and Titleist and Callaway and on and on and on, right? How many yards do you think you're going to pick up with that extra driver? I think I can get an extra 5 to 10. What if I give you 15 to 20? You pay me more.
Jeff Smith teaches on the sliding scale.
Those Weekend Golf Guys, the podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker. Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a 3-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord. We get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.